My name is Russ Marin. I am the pastor of Monclova Road Baptist Church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, the Bible says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." The Apostle Paul is talking about being a testimony, a witness to the unsaved, trying to win people to Christ. Today we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go right now to the Monclova Road Baptist Church Auditorium for today's message. Now just picture this. The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, was different from the other apostles. He was different. He was different in that he did not follow Christ when Christ was here on earth. He wasn't with Christ from Christ's baptism. We don't think he was there. We're not sure that he was there. Christ was crucified. And he didn't see the resurrected Christ. But Christ met him on the Damascus Road. So hold your place here. Turn back to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 21 and 22. And here it gives the qualifications for being an apostle. Every once in a while in town here, you'll see someone advertise that Apostle so-and-so is going to be at their church. So see if they meet the qualifications. Acts 1, verse 21. "Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us..." Now they're replacing Judas Iscariot here. Judas betrayed Christ. He really wasn't a believer. He hung himself. Now they're going to replace him as an apostle. It says, "You were with Jesus when he went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us when he ascended into heaven. Must one be ordained to be a witness of us, witness with us of his resurrection?" So a person to be an apostle at this point had to be someone. The one they wanted to replace Judas was someone who had accompanied with them and been with them from the baptism of Jesus all the way to his resurrection and ascension into heaven. That was the qualification. And that is exactly why we don't have any apostles today, because there's no one here and there's no one on the face of this planet that has seen the resurrected Christ. And there's none of us who traveled with Jesus as he went from village to village to village performing miracles and preaching the gospel, right? So that's what you had to do to be an apostle. So here in Corinthians 9, Paul, he didn't meet those requirements. But he had seen Christ, the resurrected Christ, or when he was on the road to Damascus. He says that I am an apostle in Galatians 1. If you want to, turn to Galatians 1. I'll read verse 11 and 12. Galatians 1, verse 11. Paul says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul's saying, I did not get the gospel from another man. I didn't get it from another man's preaching, but I got it from the Lord Jesus Christ by direct revelation. And Paul is claiming here in 1 Corinthians 9 that he is an apostle. Now stop and think and just reason this out. Here's a man, no TV, no radio. He's coming into towns like Corinth, and he's preaching the gospel. Well, what is to distinguish him from everybody else? If he says, I'm a man of God, what evidence does he have? And he's going to say, I got the word of God by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. And I think that's why Paul and some of the other apostles were given supernatural ability to heal people, to raise people up, and to perform miracles to prove to the listeners that this was a man of God. And that for that exact reason, once the Bible was completed, it wasn't necessary to do the miracles. You know, my authority tonight is not that I'm a miracle worker. I'm not. My authority is the Word of God. Any of us go out to preach now, we don't have to prove that we're a man of God. But we have the authority of the Word of God. Now, a lot of people spend a lot of time trying to prove that the Bible is God's Word. I don't do that hardly at all. I think that the Bible will demonstrate that itself. The Word of God will not return void. Give the Word of God. The Word of God can convict. The Word of God can convince people of the gospel. The Word of God can save people. The Word of God can change people's lives. I don't personally believe in spending much time in trying to prove to you that it's God's Word. Just teach it and preach the Word of God. I say all that to say this. Probably there were some questioning Paul. Who are you? Who are you to come to Corinth and tell us these things about God? And Paul says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Yes, I've seen Christ. I've had direct revelation from him. Are not ye my work in the Lord? He says to the people at Corinth, I'm the one that led you to Christ. I'm the one that has introduced you to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. I have won you to Christ. That makes me an authority with you. In Corinthians 4, remember when he said, you have 10,000 instructors, but you only have one father, meaning I am the person that led you to Christ. All right? So Paul had power and he had authority beyond most other people. He was performing miracles. I believe we call them apostolic gifts. He had gifts, authority to do things that other men didn't have. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 3, 4, 5, and 6. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord in Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Paul was a tent maker. He had the ability to make his own living. He also, most people believe that he was single. So here we go. Paul's preaching the gospel, and he can make his own living, and he doesn't have a family to care for. And there were probably some people saying, questioning his apostleship, questioning his authority, and then also questioning, why should we have to take care of you? Why should we give you an offering? You have a job, you have a source of income, and you don't have a family to take care of. So Paul's getting ready to say that a preacher that preaches the gospel should be supported by the people he's preaching to. Verse 7, he said, who goes to warfare any time of his own charge? It says, who plants a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? What farmer raises wheat and corn and beans and doesn't eat from the own fruit of his garden? And then it says, or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of poor oxen? So if you pick an oxen and you have him on the thing that goes round and round, and he is stepping on the corn or the wheat, and he's breaking it up, and he's preparing it to be used. And do you muzzle the mouth of the oxen? Do you not feed the oxen who is doing the work so that that wheat is one day going to be used by you for food? Obviously, you feed the ox because he is helping to prepare the harvest for you. Is that right? So what Paul is getting ready to say here is the soldier, you don't expect him to pay his own way. The farmer, you expect to eat the own fruit of his own crop. The cattle rancher, you expect to have the milk and the meat from the cattle. And the oxen, you don't expect them to go round and round and never feed them. So he says, or saith he it altogether for our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be a partaker of this hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? So Paul's saying, now listen, I am feeding you spiritually. Is it wrong for me to receive an income from you for feeding you spiritual things? Verse 12, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, or we allow all things, lest we should be lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul was willing to make his own living so it did not hinder the gospel of Christ. But that was not the model that he set up for everybody. He is saying here that the evangelist, that the pastor, that the Bible teacher is to make his living from the people that he is feeding spiritually. Verse 13, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? Meaning, in the Old Testament, the priests of the Old Testament were fed from the offerings given at the temple. And it says, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 17 and 18. Now, let me quote this verse to you while you're looking that up. In Galatians 6, verse 6, it says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Communicate would be share. So let's say this again. Let him that is taught in the word share unto him that teaches in all good things. So the Bible teaches that the person who is taught is to share back with the teacher, that the teacher's giving spiritual things and they should communicate back. They should share back and provide a living for the person who is teaching. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. So verse 17 would teach that the elder, the pastor, that is working harder, that is schooling himself better, that is teaching himself better, that is learning and is teaching his people, the one who is doing better is worthy of a double honor. And apparently, he's teaching here that the pastor who is working harder ought to be paid better. He says is worthy of double honor. If you talk to missionaries, that next time we have missionaries in here, ask them a question. What's one of the hardest things you do in your deputation? Most of them will say to you, it is very difficult to get a hold of pastors. And they'll call churches on Mondays, and there's no one there. And they'll call, and they'll call, and they'll call, and they're not there. And I would say to you, the ministry is one of the great tests of self-discipline. That in reality, a pastor can take several days off without most of his people knowing it. Most of you don't go to work tomorrow, your boss knows it, or the people you're working for know it. But in the ministry, it's very easy to take time off and people don't know that you're not even working. And it's a danger.